Hello, hi everybody. How's it going? Taylor, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Here we are, wonderful, beautiful moment. In eternity, another live Q&A with our wonderful superheroes. And Joshua is joining us. I think he'll be here any second. We are also joined with Uncle Nick. How are you doing, Nick? Wonderful, wonderful. So let's just start with a few breaths, a moment of silence. And Taylor, if you're inspired to share anything, then feel free. Let's just take a moment. Let's just breathe deeply and remember why we are all here, gathered at this time. Bring forth your intention. What is the end result that you'd love to experience from being here in this session, in this training, the highest vision of yourself, your highest experience of all aspects of life, fully embodied. Just bring that forth before you. Before we begin this session,
I'm just asking you to create an intent for the session and for what you want to create as a superhero thing just before we begin.
Right now?
Yeah, for yourself.
Okay.
As a superhero thing and what you'd like to do.
Okay. I create.
Josh, are you there?
Yeah, brother, I'm here.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, bro. It's been a beautiful day, for
wonderful.
Sure. And it's wonderful to be here. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's beautiful to have you.
Mm-hmm. Likewise. Mm-hmm. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Thank you to Joshua. Thanks to Taylor for joining us on this call. We got some wonderful questions from everyone this week. And a lot of it relates to Joshua and Taylor, so I'm going to maybe just let, first of all, Joshua, could you share a few thoughts about the releasing process that you've guided people into this week and address any questions related to that?
Sure. Do you want me to just go ahead and look at the different questions here that people have posted, or do you want me to,
Yeah, this week, you know, there's mainly focused on that. And, of course, there's always things that come up about anything. But I'd love to have your answers to the questions and also any other thoughts or feelings, inspirations that you have related to what you were sharing that you may just want to share as well if you're inspired.
Sure. Well, you know, I guess I'll start with just saying, you know, as far as, you know, why I focus so much, you know, most of my work is focused around releasing. It's focused around letting go of whatever's holding someone back from just being who they are or owning that power. That's one, it's a yearning that we all experience, right? A yearning to just shine, to allow ourselves to be who we are in front of others. And you know, it's a big part of what I feel like the superhero metaphor is really all about, right? It's stepping up with your power and serving the world in some way. So what I found is that, like I said in the presentation, is that, you know, most people do know what the next step is. You know, if they really sat down and just thought about, you know, what's my next step here? they would know, and they would probably come up with multiple different things they could do. But then it, what holds that person back? Because even though they have that knowledge, they're not doing something, or they're not just fully owning or embracing a process. They get stuck, and they experience that, and it's kind of a frustrating experience. So upon further investigation, what I started finding is that over and over and over again, it usually comes back to the same things over and over again. It's either, A, someone is not really clear about what it is that they truly want. They really don't know what's their core desire. You know, what is that yearning that you have to experience in the world, to make happen in the world, that big thing that encompasses everything. It could be called your vision as well, that big thing that you yearn to create. Or it's you don't really believe that it's possible, or that you're capable, or that you deserve it, right? Or you have all sorts of limiting beliefs that have been handed to you by other people, usually by other people, or you just had a certain experiences where you came up with certain conclusions that were really great at the time, but they're no longer serving you. And it always came back to that, those three things. It's clarity, conviction, or some kind of resistance, right? So with this whole process, the whole thing here is about really just tuning in, not so much about of why you might be experiencing some kind of block, or why you're not creating a certain result, or why you're not attracting certain things. Why has never been a very effective question when it comes to this realm of transformation. Much more importantly is how. How are you creating this state? How are you creating this sense of stuckness? And like in the presentation, you know, most of that is a skill. Most of our emotional states are skills. And so when we start deconstructing how, the actual process, because, you know, I see some of these questions around fear, you know, the labels around what we're feeling and this process, because this, one of my mentors told me, you know, emotions like fear, anger, you know, happiness, they're usually just the labels for a feeling, and that's the difference between a feeling and an emotion. So if we get back to the feeling and we start tuning back into, you know, what is that sensation in my body? You know, where do I feel that? And where is it? How does it feel? Is it tight? Is it heavy? So on and so forth. Is there an image that's playing in your mind? Like, how are you creating this? Because it's a whole dynamic. It's an orchestration of so many different invisible elements that are happening in your mind and body. And once you start to tune into simply how are you creating this, taking, at least assuming that you're able to create this at will, if you wanted to, which you know, if I ask somebody, a lot of times I could ask someone to get sad, and they could actually get sad, or get really stoked, and they'll get really stoked, because these are skills, these are processes, and we have a certain map, what some people call emotional codes in the mind of how we create these states. So if we can get to that, go back to the process and stop labeling the experience as a name or anything else and just see how we constructed this and start using that tapping process, right, the faster EFT, to short-circuit the mind-body connection at that point, to disrupt that pattern, you can't follow the same sequence pretty much ever again. It's almost impossible because you've completely scratched the disc. So that's just kind of a quick little overview that I just wanted to share as far as, you know, releasing and, you know, specifically how to go about it, because it's the elements of that we use, the sensory-based elements that construct reality, right? Whatever it is in our mind that we consider to be so real, some kind of fear or some kind of anything, these constructions in our mind are based or created by sensory language. It's a language that our unconscious mind understands. So when we start tuning into the senses and we start releasing on all the elements of that, the, you know, in NLP language, it's the sub-modalities, right, the modalities that make this experience seem so real, that experience cannot possibly go on in your experience, right? You can't create it anymore the same way. So when I look here, you know, I have, there's a person that was asking, you know, about, you know, let's see here, the question about releasing loved ones and allowing them to go. I'm just going to find the actual question here really quickly and then get into something I think it'll be helpful, hopefully, for everybody here. Okay, so you know, someone's asking here about, you know, letting people go, that it's difficult to let people go in that, you know, she has certain descriptions of this, which is great, you know. I mean, this is actually part of creating clarity. You know, it hurts deeply in the chest. That's a wonderful thing to take into consideration. I would write down specifically the answer to how do you know, right, because that's the most important question here is, how do you know you have a hard time releasing loved ones, right? How do you know that you have a hard time letting them go? And take note of how you know that and start deconstructing how you know that, because those are the raw materials that you're going to use to start releasing, start letting go, right? So that, and then you'll start finding that all of the things that you're probably experiencing today as pains or as certain behaviors usually stem from something in your past. So here, you know, this person's talking about, you know, this person was left by their parents, and it was traumatic for them, right? So that would be immediately, like, anything that comes up right away when you're in the process of releasing, anything that comes up while you're releasing or have the intention of releasing is something to consider, even if it seems completely unrelated. Like, this one seems related for sure, but it's not the case all the time. You always want to pay attention and be aware of what's coming up for me while I'm releasing, because all of those things are important. You know, I've worked with people, you know, releasing certain things around, you know, self-image or, you know, their confidence, and what comes up is some kind of experience they had at an ice cream parlor, and they happen to have dropped an ice cream cone or something, and, you know, things that seem almost like, what, you know? Those things are part of the emotional code in the mind. So starting with that, like, I would go back to any kind of memories that are associated with this pattern today and start releasing on those memories, because it's the memory itself that's pretty much the glue, right, the feeling in that memory, the associated feeling that's holding this all together. So I would start there. And, you know, and allow the pattern that you're experiencing, which is, you know, hard time letting go of people that you love, you know, that's an effect of something much deeper, and it usually goes into these past experiences and certain conclusions that you probably made based on those experiences. So, you know, I'm kind of talking here, Michael, you know, as far as, you know, something that would generally help everyone. And to be honest, you know, with these kind of experiences, you know, most of the time I kind of have to get, you know, specific with someone, obviously, because, you know, these are general suggestions here.
Josh, it's an awesome subject, you know, helping everyone through that. That's like the basic core epicenter of the whole superhero training right there, which you explained so eloquently, because the letting go, the consciousness, this is why forgiveness is so huge as being a fundamental part of our emotional body. We can apply that, feel that, live in that emotion of forgiveness. In our book, it's the solvent that dissolves that glue that you're talking about that keeps us stuck in there. And really feel that forgiveness is the core feeling component in compassion, as well being the highest octave of human love. And so it's a wonderful harmonic we're talking about there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And, you know, on that subject, Nick, thanks for bringing that up. You know, one thing that's fascinating here, and what's so wonderful about what you guys are talking about and addressing, and I think, it like you said, it's the core right? It's the core of the transformation as we know it. And that's ultimate forgiveness. And that ultimate forgiveness, what we find when we start exploring deeper and deeper, what is really forgiveness? What's really going on? We start realizing or come to realize that usually we end up forgiving ourselves. Self-forgiveness. Because even, you know, like, for example, like, I've had many different clients that have experienced very traumatic things in their lives. I mean, things that, you know, anyone would just have a very strong emotional reaction to. And here's the thing, is that the past happened when it happened, but it's no longer happening, right? And that's almost like a you know, what I call a duh statement. You know, most people would experience like, oh, yeah, okay, that's true, right? At the time of any kind of event, what happened did happen at that time. But after that, after the abuse, after whatever happened, that is no longer happening anymore. However, it keeps replaying in our mind. It keeps happening over and over again. And that it comes to a point where not only are you the abused, but you become the abuser as well. And that is the most, that's the point where you start to forgive a deep element of you needing to punish yourself, you needing to hold yourself in that position. And when you can forgive yourself as the abuser in your memory as well, because if it's inside of you, see, that's the revelation here. That's the thing that really just blew my mind once I came to fully realize and own this, that if it's inside of you, it's you. Every single character in your memory is you. You know, I would ask my clients, you know, so who's doing this to you? And usually the response is, well, this person's doing this to me, or that person did that, or they did that. And if I just keep asking, who's doing this to you now? It becomes very clear that there's only one person that's doing this now. And so we start to release, not only in ourselves, not only forgiving the other people, quote unquote, in our memory, but also forgiving ourselves as those people in the memory, because we are them now.
And that's a miraculous, can be a miraculous instant effect, the application of that forgiveness. I personally seen my friend Howard Wills, who's a great advocate of prayer, the healing power of prayer, and the keynote of all of these prayers, without exception, is forgiveness. That's the constant recurring theme: forgiving the family, forgiving the lineage, forgiving ourselves, being at peace with each other, being at peace with ourselves, loving each other, loving ourselves. And that's had the reoccurring theme through every single one of his prayers. And I've seen that man, he's a personal friend of mine, I used to live in his house. I've been hanging around with him for almost 6 years now. And I've seen that man on multiple occasions reverse the very obvious effects and evidence of degenerative disorder, such as an old blind woman. I saw this big overweight, very elderly lady brought into one of our gatherings, and within 10 minutes she'd had her eyesight restored completely to 20/20 vision. And when she walked in, she was blind in one eye and virtually blind in the other. And that was pretty much instantaneous through the forgiveness prayer. And I've seen many other demonstrations of that, but most importantly, from my own feeling experience of as I chart the evolution of my consciousness through this adventure I call my life, is it's self-evident, the application of forgiveness, the wonders that it brings into my world. And that really, you know, we really want to emphasize this, and it's so awesome that we're putting this emphasis at this point in Superhero Training after this great stuff Josh has been sharing, because It's the key factor. And this year is the big year. 2011 is the year that you did it. You actually miraculously transformed your life in a way that no one could deny or begin to deny. And this is the core element of the emotional component of superhero training.
Totally. This, Joshua, you know, we've got this quite a heavy question here, actually, that came up recently today, which would be nice to just talk about this forgiveness and this, you know, ownership of all aspects of ourselves. This is like a really touching question, very personal and very sensitive. And Taylor, if you know, if you've got any thoughts, then we'd be very happy to hear from you as well. And this is from someone who's who had a, you know, her daughter was kidnapped and was shown that there was an abuser, and you know, the situation has been resolved to some degree, but the person keeps coming back and is still causing trouble and keeps showing up, and the cops have been involved. It just sounds, you know, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's a lot of pretty serious stuff here.
What she's really asking for, one of the main pieces of advice she's after is, you know, when is it okay to fight? As she considers this man a formidable opponent, and how does she work with this energy without getting lost in it and being destroyed? And she doesn't want to fight. And this reminds me of the question and the situation that Arjuna was in on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Now, this is the whole theme behind the Bhagavad Gita, one of the most powerful texts coming out of India and the whole pantheon of yogic thought. And it's very, very timely that we should be talking about this deeply, deeply, deeply disturbing subject, because the abuse that's going on in the world towards children constantly and consistently every single day is something of the most horrific nature, and something that, in my own opinion, is that we should definitely use as leverage and motivation to put some serious venom into our actions in the world and fight the good fight with all our might. Now, Einstein once said that we cannot solve a problem on the same level of consciousness that it was originally created at. Now, that kind of a problem was created at a low level of consciousness. So we need to move into a higher level of consciousness. So the question is, how do we do that? The application of forgiveness that Josh is talking about, that I am constantly promoting in the Sun Pop program as the most effective actual practice that we have of seeding that emotion deep into the fertile realms of the imagination and the soul, is the first and initial and constant practice in this movement. The warrior, the spiritual warrior, when we're talking about going down onto the battlefield, we're talking about wielding the power of God. Now, this is an almighty thing, and so we need to be in our humility to do that. And so we have to bow ourselves and humble ourselves before our greatest challenges in life. And from a bow from the perspective of the ego, who has a deeply wounded reaction to what it perceives as dreadful a wrongdoing in the world. But all it is a reflection that we have to look at in the mirror of our own lives. It's your life. You have brought that karma upon yourself, so has your daughter, and so has this man. Now, we are these little people that are emotionally involved in these stories. We are at the mercy of a great drama. And this drama has been going for a very long time. And the forces that are driving all manifestations of evil in the world are archetypal, invisible, mythological, spiritual, astral, psychological, and psycho-emotional forces. and they are organized in varying levels of intensity by cosmology and astrology. And life itself is powering this drama. And so what we do as spiritual warriors, as superheroes, and this is why it is only the path to warrior, is we can look at this horror. We can witness this horror. I mean, you're part of our core group on superhero training. My guts are full of the wounds of the abuse of childhood. My closest beloved soulmate is the victim of a story not unlike this one. And so many of us have these horrific stories in our soul. But the thing is, it's what do you do with that? What do you do with that? How do you use that? How do you use it to give you power, to move you into a state of being so that you, yes, you, every single one of us on this training becomes a force of such magnificent power and goodness that we are capable of dissolving all of that from this world, making it go away forever. But the thing is, it's definitely destined to be, but we have to make use of that destiny today, right here, right now, and bring it into our little nitty-gritty lives, into the dirty business. And so there you are in the drama with this toxic situation that's causing you so much pain, and you are asking the question, should I fight? Now, I would echo the words of Krishna here to you, to Arjuna on the battlefield, weeping, sobbing, trying to get away from facing the greatest challenge in his life, the greatest warrior in the world, refusing to fight, sick of the fight. And Krishna told him, you have no choice. It's not your choice about whether you fight or you don't fight. You're a warrior. You, sister, are a warrior. This is your initiation here. So I would say most definitely activate the spiritual warrior in you. And we have a component of that coming up later on in the superhero training. But I would like you to email me directly at successultranow@gmail.com. Same as the website, nice and easy, successultranow@gmail.com. And email me directly, and I will give you some homework, some special homework, which will empower you for this very, very, very delicate situation. But what I would say right now is that you need to learn to breathe and focus on your breath and keep concentrating on the basics of this program diligently and religiously. You need to practice forgiveness as an active prayer 3 times a day. We forgive each other, we forgive ourselves over and over and over and over and over. Ask for forgiveness for what in you has created this situation, and pray for forgiveness and release, and ask for us to be at peace with each other and peace with ourselves. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be kissy-kissy with this man or even approach that route. Personally, if ever I was in that situation and going around to that man's space, I would be prepared to decapitate him with a machete. And I'd probably have a machete in the back of my shorts and be so locked and loaded, ready to act. But I wouldn't necessarily do it, but that would be the energy that I would be projecting so that my field, my spiritual warrior field, doesn't collapse. And I'm able to hold my space and bring in the amazing grace, which we have to bring in through our psychology and our emotional content, and then I would witness the miracle come to pass. So we'll talk more about this, my love. But the answer is yes, activate the warrior, practice active forgiveness, carry on with the letting go wonderful information, and just focus on that breath. Bringing it all into a concentrated, long, slow, gentle, conscious, all the way in,
and all the way out, breathing compassion and love and blessings out into the world. And when you breathe out, when you exhale, surrender absolutely in total trust to the X factor in this world, the incalculable power of positive goodness that is with us.
It's beautiful. Joshua or Taylor, have you got anything to share?
Yeah, I'd like to add a little something to that. And kind of on the tail end of what Dr. Good is saying there. By the way, Nick, I think that was a good visual on the machete in the back of the truck. my suggestion, I think this is a really good topic that a lot of people could benefit from because, you know, on one hand, there's so much drama in it. There's a big pull to get caught in the drama. There'd be a lot of agreement for if you went out and told the story to just anybody on the street. You could get a lot of agreement for, oh, dear, this is a horrible situation, poor you, you know, and amass a lot of agreement for why, you know, this is a challenge. And that's not to say it isn't, by the way. But I think what's useful, and I think what you're asking for here, is to get bigger than the situation and to see it for what it is, like Nick was saying, which is energy. It's all energy. We're all energy. And you have to ask yourself, well, if everything is in divine order, now this is a big leap, but let's just assume it is, that there is divine perfection and order in everything, even the things that you would get possibly a lot of a mass agreement for, there's no perfection in this, this is a wrong, this is not right. But just assume for the purpose of what will enable you to get bigger, if you were to stand in, this is all divinely perfect, and I'm being given it as a gift from the universe, and it seems to keep coming around. You know, it seems like you tried to let it go. You thought it was resolved. Here it is back again. To me, that's even a bigger indicator that this is your what there is to handle, and that you're bringing it to the superhero program is perfect because it is a superhero question that will require you truly stepping into your superhero-ness and power and clarity to address it. And so it's a huge gift, first of all. I just want to say that. I think it's important to say that everything we're given, no matter how horrendous, how toxic, how challenging, that where we have the most power is to shift out of the drama and agreement for such into seeing it all as perfect. From that place, then, you have much more ability to forgive, like Nick was saying, to have compassion for all of the various players, seeing that, sure, this is in your life, but there are other players involved. There's your daughter, there's this, there's that. And as a mother, of course, your defenses to protect are going to be highly engaged. You know, I guess they say the most.
I want to add one thing there, sweetheart, because so powerful what you're saying, and I don't want us to skip over this because, you know, it's a reflection of what's going on in the world, you know, the brutality.
Exactly.
We are so brutalized. The soul has been so brutalized, and we've been so brutal ourselves, you know, towards each other. And if we accept the fact that we're souls, then we've been playing, you know, on different teams in this drama for a very long time, getting up to all manner of nonsense. And this is why the forgiveness protocols are so powerful, especially in my mind, the Hawaiian strategies of ho'oponopono. Because the first thing movement is apologizing yourself for everything, not just for, you know, this situation with your daughter and this man, taking full responsibility for the wounds in their lives. And this is a phenomenal shift in orientation of consciousness, and it's precisely that impossible, illogical shift, completely illogical to the ego mindset that's viscerally involved and invested in the drama and is being powered and plugged into a neurological experience primarily, well, utterly, dominated by the reptilian brain. This is absolute incompatible with any reptilian brain-like behavior. And so hence the shift into higher consciousness and the possibility of quantum transformation. This is a miracle, what we're talking about here. If you as a woman any of us fresh wounds from this kind of trauma can shift into not necessarily complete forgiveness of it, but liberation in the drama of life. What do you call that, Mike? What is that liberation in life?
Jivan Mukti. You know, the when we talk about the Bhagavad Gita and what Nick was sharing earlier, in that same episode, and I highly recommend, by the way, everyone reads chapter 1-8 of the Bhagavad Gita. It's extremely powerful and very concise teaching of universal truth, and I haven't come across anything as powerful in all my research so far. It's just such a beautiful way of putting it. And one thing just to mention is like Taylor was saying, it's recontextualizing, seeing this from a different place. You know, Arjuna isn't just told, yes, you have to fight. He's also given an explanation that everyone he's looking at is a spiritual being, and they are already dead, in a sense, because the soul can never die, and the body is already dead. So you have to fulfill your duty, regardless of the outcome, because what is eternal is always eternal, and what is not eternal is never eternal. So when you have this bigger perspective on the whole thing, and you can look down on the world with that clarity, then all of it actually does come across as a bit of a game, and we just have to do what is right in the moment, and it will come round, it really will, but from that higher perspective. So he's not telling Arjuna to go in there and to fight and just get caught up in the fighting. He's told to go in with a much, much, much greater perspective and then act from that place. Because we can't just allow people to abuse us, you know? We can't allow things just to happen. If someone's going to come around and rob you and break stuff in your house, you don't just let them come in. There needs to be precautions in life. And as things get more and more serious in the world, we're going to see pretty crazy stuff. Even if you have to, you know, kill somebody, if someone's in the army and their job is to shoot people, see them as a soul and then shoot them, if that's your job, because you'll probably be shot if you don't do it to them. Do you know, so these sort of situations come up for people where they actually have to kill each other. So we can, this is hardcore stuff we're talking about here, but it always comes back to this unlimited perspective that applies no matter what is going on.
Wonderful. So shall we move on to another question?
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous stuff. We're really feeling the power of superhero training weaving here. So here's a kind of a couple of questions. We really like this kind of stuff. How can we best use our accountability partners? Okay, well, what I'd suggest, and I'm sure Mike and Taylor and Josh might have something to say here as well, is my accountability partner is my best friend. I want to be nurturing a relationship with them, a very, very, very special relationship. I want to be intimate with them in the disclosure of my own visions and dreams and the things I'm struggling with to a degree. I like to show my underbelly to my accountability partner and have no armor on whatsoever. I don't want to project an image of anything other than 100% rock solid in the truth of my spiritual journey. Now, I hope that made sense. I'm more that this is just my perspective, Nick Gerd, because I have an accountability partner, and it's a love story. It's like, how honest and truthful can we be to each other? How transparent can we be with each other? How compassionate can we be with each other? How patient? How unconditionally loving? How present? You know, it's a practice. It's part of my highest yoga, is my interaction with my accountability partner. And personally, I feel it is another defining facet in superhero training. Superhero training has amazing content. Start to finish, middle, the whole thing is power-packed with really powerful stuff. But it's all about the degree you practice it, how much you value it, how much breathing do you really do, conscious breathing, how actively is your spiritual warrior engaged in the practice of ho'oponopono all day, every day? You know, these are big questions, and these are defining answers. If it's just, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, where is it? You know, because that's what you're going to get out of this training, the number. It's all number-wise, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, everything's number-wise. The accountability partner is, the aim, I think, is just to be completely honest and share, you know, this is what I intend to do, this is my mission, this is what I really am inspired to do, and that you just share it. And just by sharing that from your heart, and then going back and checking in, you know, I intend to do all these things, you know what, I did nothing. Didn't do any of them. I completely did everything that I said I wouldn't do all day long, and I didn't do anything else. But at least that's the truth, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the power. Just being there with each other, sharing it.
Hallelujah.
And it's wonderful. So does anyone else have anything to say about that? We've got a lot of questions.
Okay, so.
I would add just one really quick thing, something I've found to be very helpful in these kind of situations when you have an accountability partner, and that's to have each person, you know, be able to ask each other every single week, you know, how can I support you to hold that space for you, or how can I best support you to create that type of motivation or whatever it is that you need to step into that or to make that happen, you know, just making each other available and asking, how can I support you? I think that's invaluable, because so many of us sometimes, you know, in accountability, we forget, you know, that we have a very specific way of being supported, and it's just important to keep that at the forefront, to know how is someone best supported and see how you can offer that.
Wonderful, Josh. Yeah, thanks. Love it. Trust, support, beautiful. So the second part of this question, I love this guy, the Tao of Blue. He's down there in the, where is he, up there in the Arctic or down there in the Antarctic? Just a total superhero, doing it tough down there, living in the cabin, working his ass off for the first couple of months of his superhero training. So he's been finding himself just out of the blue, breaking down, sobbing, heart pounding, shaking uncontrollably, and crying his eyes out. He could be doing anything, and he just gets triggered by an intense love and gratitude wave of emotion. And sometimes he's been in public, and he's got to get out of there. And so he's saying, I'm lucky I'm out here on the tundra. And he's been outside in the blowing snow a couple of times with his goggles on, and although amongst others was able to take a moment crying without anyone noticing. Dude, I love you, mate. You're a warrior, bro. I know you, brother. Yeah, because this is one tough guy, I'll tell you, this one. So I'm really stoked, mate, to hear that news. And, you know, the thing is about it, bro, you're in the Antarctic, so you're close to the magnetic pole on the planet where tremendous emanations of cosmic energy are coming through from the, you know, outside all around us in the cosmos, and the inside of the Earth, which is the portal through the black hole into infinity, as proved by Einstein and and Nassim Haramein. And these energies that are coming through, they're extremely potent, and they are waves of love, indeed. And so there you are, right close to the epicenter of it. Big tough boy out there in the cold, digging in, and there he is, crying his tears. And you're not just crying your tears, mate. You're crying man's tears. And boy, has man got some tears to cry. So enjoy your tears, mate. And, yeah, we'll get a little study going on the importance of tears for men when we get to the love story, second book of mine, Soul Consciousness, the Love Story, which we're going to be studying a bit of later in this training. So, yeah, we're loving you, appreciating you. So what do you want to do? Another question, Michael?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Nick, I just wanted to add to that for a moment.
Sure.
just quickly, it's really everybody's. You know, my sense is that what's happening for him down there, and it's so right on that he's kind of in this, you know, out in nature and this really sensitive connection. But pretty much everyone I talk to could have a version that's similar right now, and in that the veils are getting so much thinner for all of humanity, men, women, the earth itself, all living things, are shifting and transforming and releasing at such accelerated rate that we're all going through that on some level. And either we're feeling it or we're suppressing it and, you know, watching TV and moving on. But I think it's so key what he says here, like, well, this has never happened before. I've been in all these other trains. Why is it coming up now? Why is it coming up now is because it needs to. It needs to come up for everyone. And I think it's really well articulated here in that it's kind of catching them off guard, and it may do that. And if we can all see that we're all in that, it's a lot easier than having some sense, like, what the heck's wrong with me? I thought I already worked through this, and here it is again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, Taylor, let's get on to that next question for Taylor.
Yeah.
There's a good question here for you, Taylor.
Yes, we've got a question for Taylor about someone's trying to get their head around all these very powerful things that have been coming through the transmissions. You want to take that up, Taylor?
I will indeed. Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one that, in a way, you know, anytime you hear anything about, well, it back to just, you know, the great question from the woman but with her child, like, well, you know, I don't know if this is really mine to do or not. Well, in truth, in her doing it, she's doing it for all of us. She's doing it for all those women that want to stand up, for all of anybody that wants to stand up. And you know, we're all being asked that. So, you know, the question here is, well, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around, is it really possible that the 40 of us were summoned here to aid in the raise of consciousness out of billions of people? And the answer to that is absolutely, unequivocally, yes. Definitely. If there's a program that you saw with the name of, you know, become a superhero, and you signed up, and with, you know, a sizable commitment to do so of time and energy and money, let me assure you that is of great interest to all of the realms of invisible support that are here to support humanity in this evolution. And if there's a group of 40 people that are saying, you know, I'm signed on, I'm on, man. I want to be a superhero. I don't even know what that looks like. But I want to take my life and my community, my family, and all the projects I'm working on to the next level. You can be sure that out of billions of people, you will have a lot of folks from the realms of the invisible plane.
That's right. Let's just get a visual on that as well, Taylor, because we are consciousness. The 40 of us, or whatever it is with all us, with nearly 50 of us all together with the teachers and the other people involved, that's like a beacon. It's like a little island of light in a great toxic sea of darkness. The general state of consciousness of humanity, as Michael McIntosh is always reminding us, is extremely low. You know, sadly, but true. And These are just the simple facts of life. And so there's a great darkness all around our little island in the eternal ocean. And these beings that are around, greater beings than us in one sense, are at least playing a far different role from a completely different perspective and able to understand things that we simply cannot understand at the moment. They see that little light pulsing there in that big, toxic, oil slick of human ignorance and fear and ego carryings on. And so, yeah, you are going to attract attention. That's a great and magnificent contrast there. We are shining very brightly in the darkness of this world, and we are very glad to do that. And in fact, it's always been like this. The heroes, the ones that really change the world, they are a small band of brothers and sisters. We few, we happy few. But that's part of the joy of being so capable, because the power has to be so great in order for those few, comparative few, but rest assured that we will be millions before this whole thing has changed around. There might only be the 40 in the core group now, but that's a very good thing. And you are weaving the central core, the central component of this whole movement. And we are very, 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 very glad that we are all together, aren't we, brother?
Yeah, we're so, this is absolutely beautiful, because we're, in a sense, how I see it is we're ancestors. We've been around a long time. And so as we change our entire lineage, even though we may be young in body, we're old souls, and we've seen and heard a lot of things over a long period of time. And, you know, a lot of this weeping that can come up is because we know we're healing the world, we're healing things that we don't even know. There's a lot of stuff that's happening. In fact, most of the stuff that's happening, about 96% of it, is below the surface. We can't comprehend it with our mind, and yet it is extremely powerful and very, very real. And so there's no question at all. And every single thing that we do, any single thing that you do that is moving forward, is helping everyone else big time. So recognize that.
Yeah, I just want to add to what you said, Michael, that it's really not about the numbers. It's not a numbers game. And like Nick said, yeah, I think Jesus had, what, 12 people, and they weren't even all up for the game. So it really is that I think I heard it once said that one prayer can cancel out millions of you know, something other than that. And so it really is, it is just, that is what it is to be a superhero. It's not how many you have around you, but that you're on, and if you got two more people on next to you, well then, you've already created a commotion.
That's right, and we need to be contemplating this regularly. You know, we need to be churning these simple facts. And this is an exercise, this is a practice, this requires tremendous discipline. And this is the difference between a superhero state of consciousness, which is the spiritual warrior, the yogic soul, the pereternus, the ascending dynamic component of your psyche that is active all the time. It doesn't sleep, that's why it's a warrior. It's always awake. Now, that part of ourselves that needs to be awake in remembrance of the simple facts of life all of the time. And the facts of life are very, very simple. And there is really only one thing to remember. And the breath practice, why there's so much focus on the breath in the early weeks here, and the forgiveness and the letting go, is to establish you in that connection, the ability to remember. And as you do that more and more and more, you are able to stabilize the focus of your mind and actually handle this power that you're beginning to contemplate and awaken to the simple presence of. Because it's here. It can't go away. There isn't anywhere for it to go. And it is the eternal, almighty power. It is the great ocean of infinite life, which laps against the shores of that tiny little island of your sense of self, your consciousness, and you're just beginning to become truly aware of it, and we have to do this very, very gently. This is why you are the core group. This is why we're testing the power of this thing. Because if you start messing around and dipping yourself into that kind of medicine without this ability to stabilize and focus your mind and think the thoughts that you want to think, so you create the reality that you know you're destined for, and move out of all of that unconscious and subconscious stuff, we need that focus and that stabilization.
You know, David Hawkins says that there's eight souls in the world who are on the planet, who are offsetting the negative karma and all the negativity of the rest of the souls, the 7 billion, you know, because of their state of consciousness, you know. And so the more of us waking up, it just totally turns things around. So just like Taylor's saying, you know, it really is not about the numbers. That 100th monkey example is absolutely true, and we don't even need 100 monkeys. So let me explain that one. So we've got one last question here, and we'll wrap this up within the hour. And so just a few tips about journaling. So we've been asking you guys to journal every single day. Just to recap what we said to start with, and then Nick and Nick's getting all excited here, so I'm going to pass it over to him in a moment. but basically, I would personally recommend, like, the bottom line for journaling is to have the gratitude. There's not, if you just write down what you are grateful for, connect to that gratitude every single day. For a month to 2 months, your entire life will change just by tapping into that consciousness. Just the gratitude in the morning is life-changing, just that. We also recommended that at the end of the day to write down all the wonderful things that you have done in the day, because a lot of people don't recognize how many wonderful things they've done. You know, so many of us can be extremely critical about what we didn't do, what went wrong, what didn't happen, and the whole thing is, oh, I should have done this and I didn't. I was supposed to do this and I didn't. What will my accountability partner say, blah, blah, blah. We don't want to get into that. What did you do? What was wonderful? Celebrate your victories at the end of the day. And if there's anything that needs to be cleared, clear it. Clear it, clear it, clear it, clear it. In fact, I've got one of my programs, it's called the Magical Evening Program. I think I'm just going to throw that into the superhero training as an extra blessing for everyone, because everyone deserves to have that. So I'll make that available to everyone. And Nick, I'm sure, has got some ideas. Taylor or Josh, got any ideas about this? By all means, go for it.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from Josh, both Josh and Taylor. I'm sure Josh has done a lot of journaling in his life, and me.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I love about journaling specifically, you know, I like to separate different components of my personal journal. My personal journal has a gratitude section, and it has that just like, because what you said, Michael, I mean, gratitude is such a powerful force. I mean, it is a grounding force, and it's probably the most attractive force that we're able to activate, you know, in our being. So definitely gratitude. I have another section that I highly recommend to people, and that's a place where I write down what I call my gems. Yeah. And these are pieces of wisdom. They're things that made me stop and think, or something that it just swept through my mind and it gave me this aha moment, or gave me a moment of clarity. And so I capture those and I write them down, and sometimes it'll be a long thing. Sometimes it's just a sentence, you know. But I write those things down. They're all so powerful. Another thing that I really like to do is to just write down my ideas of certain things. You know, in journaling, with all of this stuff, with releasing, with forgiving, with, you know, tuning into your vision and your mission and everything else, it's so important to capture the things that are coming to you right now in the process of. Right, to capture those things, write those things down, little ideas of, you know, what is another expression of your mission? You know, what would be something great that might serve a lot of people that you can do, right? Anything like that. I mean, those things are priceless. You know, I go back to my journal and I look at some of the things I write, and a lot of times I get blown away, like, wow, you know, that's a great idea. I should look back into that. You know, that was awesome. So, you know, I like to separate in those main categories, right? A gratitude, gems, and ideas. And it generally, you know, that keeps me flowing, you know. I think the gems part is just, it's such a powerful thing to reflect on the wisdom that's being, you know, shown to you, just because, you know, all perception is projection. So everything is constantly a metaphor in the mind. So if we can look at things and just, you know, like Aristotle would take out his students and he would ask his students, you know, go out and just look at nature and come, when we come back, share something that you learned about yourself just by looking at a leaf. Yeah, something that you're just looking at. What did you learn about yourself? And so, well, these things are, those are the gems, man. Those are the things that, you know, are going to create that certain sense of structure for you to stand in your power and to know what you're about, right? To know yourself and to also see what are you projecting out into the world. That's what I would suggest. Some helpful little tips there for journaling.
Nice one, bro. What about you, Taylor? Taylor's still around? Okay, so...
Yeah. Sorry, I had the mute on. I think that's really great, Joshua. I love that little gems. I love that word, gems. I think I would just add to that maybe just another way of saying the same thing that Joshua just said, which is what has been an inspiration to me? What was I inspired by? What was beautiful? Where did I find beauty and inspiration? And I think that taps into the same thing as gems does, but, you know, just maybe another way to access it.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, another quick little question there, just to add in on the tail of that. You know, sometimes that's a beautiful thing, is just to have a list of different questions to write down that can spring you into a certain focus, you know. So those wonderful questions, you know, what have I witnessed that's beautiful today, you know, or some other questions like, you know, what worked today, you know, what worked to help me create a beautiful day, and what didn't work, you know, and start taking, you know, just directionalizing your focus with these starter questions is a great way to go. It's easy, and it's great.
Wonderful. So journaling, from my point of view, is a very necessary part of it all. There's various ways of doing it. I think there's a couple of important points. One is the intimate time with yourself, actually taking that time to write down those thoughts and feelings in a disciplined way, a sort of a ritualistic way, ritualistic daily practice, or as near as you can to, every day, twice a day. You see, the necessity of practice and discipline, you know, these are kind of, one could say, old paradigm words, but we're trying to fast track into something extraordinary. To move from the level of consciousness we were, the state of consciousness we were in, the quality of consciousness of the culture that we've been born out of, into a living, dynamic expression of our superhero qualities, virtues, and powers. This year requires discipline, focus, and practice. The essential core fundamentals to work. The apparatus that supports that, one of the core components of that is definitely journaling. Now, I do not handwrite my journal all the time, and I am a writer, and I love to write. I sometimes draw and do arts and do mind mapping and that kind of journaling as well. I like to really engage my full brain whenever I get into a situation like that, I like mind mapping a lot. Mind mapping is amazing, and we're going to be doing a little focus on that in the not-too-distant future when we start getting to the goal setting, setting the intentions and, you know, what has very often to being referred to in the old paradigm of setting goals and what have you. We are going to be defining intentions. And as we journal, it gives us feedback into the psyche. And image streaming, journaling with a recorder, is a very, very, very powerful tool that fast-tracks the evolution of your psyche and the recalibration of your neurology, which is a very, 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 very powerful ingredient in the mix. Remember the film The Matrix, how quickly they were able to download programs, fly in a helicopter, learn Kung Fu, be a Kung Fu master, you know, all the things that they downloaded, how to pick a lock, how to do this, how to do that, how to ride a motorbike, you know, just to download a program instantaneously in the Matrix and basically master something instantaneously. What we're talking about there is a neurological change. Now, that neurological change in our training is fast-tracked by various means. One of them is journaling. Another one of them is mind mapping. And another one of them is image streaming. So I would say that the A students in this course, the A-plus students in this course, which I hope there's 40 of on this training, at least 40, the A students will be practicing all three of those modalities of journaling. Journaling, mind mapping, and image streaming well before this course has run its duration. So, with that said, I'd like to hand the phone over to Brother Michael for his closing thoughts. And perhaps Taylor could lead us out in a little prayer when it's time to go. And Josh, if you've got any last words, I really want to thank you. This is the first time we've spoken together, and I really look forward to getting to know you. I really appreciate your work, and you're a beautiful living inspiration of qualities of being that I aspire to. And, yeah, I'll talk to you again soon, mate.
Wonderful, brother. Sounds wonderful. Likewise.
Beautiful. Just the final thoughts on the journaling, actually. I didn't mention this. What I do myself in the evenings, this is my personal practice, I find extremely powerful, is I just, you know, just share what is going on for myself, just to clear it, be clear what I did. But the most important thing is I ask for higher guidance. And it's absolutely shocking. I should publish a book on the stuff that comes through, because I'm amazed by the quality of it compared to what I would otherwise be writing down, which isn't at all the same information. And to just hold it, just being open to receive information from a higher source and writing it down, I find writing it seems to come out better than anything else. What comes of that is so beautiful and direct and from a totally different space. And that, for me, really sorts me out. Because if I don't do that before I go to sleep, it's as if the day has disappeared and I'm carrying all those things into the morning. But when I do that, which is pretty much every day unless I forget for some reason, it's just this beautiful, beautiful clearing, totally different level of understanding and appreciation of life and a higher perspective. And so if you haven't done that before, I recommend, you know, just open up. I can share more about this another time, but that's a beautiful way just to close the day and start the next day clean. All right, so any final thoughts, Josh and Taylor, before we go for this session?
Sure. I would just want to say, first of all, you know, Michael, Nick, it's a deep honor to be with you guys and doing this wonderful service, and I appreciate it. You know, you guys are doing a wonderful, wonderful thing here, and I appreciate being a part of it. So I want to thank you guys personally for that first. And then for everyone, you know, I just want to just encourage everyone to, I'm sure you guys have already covered this, but you know, definitely make it a point to every day, every single day, as an unbendable practice and discipline to go inside with the intention of healing and releasing and letting go anything inside of you that may be projecting out into the world that's creating any kind of disharmony, any kind of anything that's not in alignment with your greatest and most exciting mission and vision for your life. And take that to heart. Really take it, knowing that sometimes all that needs to happen is to release one thing, one limiting belief, one negative emotional disruption that has created a pattern in your life can completely transform the way that things work out in your life. It can completely change the people that show up and the people that leave. And so many things, your finances, your health. Sometimes it's just letting go of one thing. So I just want to encourage everyone to really take that practice on to release, to forgive, to let go. And that, you know, it's trusting that that is such a powerful thing to do every single day. I mean, on top of everything else, of course, you know, gratitude and everything else, but just to be free and release and be free and feel even more free every single day because you're letting go of anything that triggers you, anything that creates any kind of, again, disharmony within you. It's about freedom, and you're going to serve so many more people the clearer you become inside. So I just want to just encourage everyone and thank everyone for doing the good work, and blessings to everybody with everything that you're doing.
Okay. Thanks, bro.
Michael, you want me to
say
a little closing?
Let's just have a little closing.
Good. So let us just take a moment then and take a few deep breaths and soften our systems even more and just allow all of this information, all of the sharing, all of the contributions. Just imagine really connecting with everyone in this program, whether you know them or not, whether you've made connections at the level of your personality, and all those that are going to come forward to contribute. And just see all of that now as a great container of light. And there's so much that occurred on this call by virtue of people coming forward with their questions and the huge contributions that each individual in the program makes to one another. And again, whether you ask questions, whether you don't, but everyone is being contributed to in ways that are so vast that perhaps we won't even know. But just imagine that all that is occurring here in this space rippling out into your life, into your community, that you just holding the tone of a commitment to being a superhero is a bold, courageous act that is causing outcomes that otherwise wouldn't occur to occur. And that we really just send a wave of gratitude to Michael and Nick and everyone that came together to just create this program, including everyone that's in it, and know that this is making a difference forward and backward in time. And may all of you experience that level of renewal and energy each time that you work through the processes or the many different, listen to all the many different videos and transmissions and see it all as a great gift. And may many blessings be upon us all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Lots and lots and lots of love to everyone listening, everyone contributing, and we will be sharing again very soon. Thank you. Aloha. Lots of love, you guys.